KO4QLG, KO4NUE.
QLG, you are in.
Father.
Mr. Christian, I see you too. Sound like you can hear me.
Let me, alright, we'll go back simplex. KO4NUE, I'm clear.
Christmas.
N4WHM, KO4NUE. Hey, Bill, how are you doing, bud? Merry Christmas to you.
Doing great. Doing great. Just sitting outside, doing a few things, and watching my wife paint some flower pots while the weather's pretty. Couldn't ask for much better. How about you?
It's here from college, and they're girlfriends and fiancés and boyfriends and, you know, so I ain't gonna say it's warm in my heart, but it's pretty close. KO4NUE, Merry Christmas, Bill. I'll be clear.
Ed, you and yours have a great time tonight. Tomorrow, enjoy the holiday. And your cousin there, thanks, your cousin. Have a good Christmas as well. So, M4WHM, I'm clear, and I'll be around. You never know, I might come popping down the chimney, so don't shoot me.
Now, Merry Christmas, Chad.
How are you, bud? Merry Christmas to you. Things going all right?
Things are all right. Just wanted to say Merry Christmas. I heard you on here. Merry Christmas to you, Chris. I don't know if he probably already swapped over, but tell him I said same.
Be safe. KO4NUE, I'm clear.
KO4NUE.
Public. I had fairly got out there with my life.
Wouldn't be 5 minutes, it'd be closer to an hour.
30 minutes, but yep.
Any way home now?
I'm gonna stop over at my parents' house real quick and check in on my dad. Make sure they're good. I haven't talked to them in a few days now, so. Dead, but yeah, I think you said you'll catch me later. That's good. I'll talk to you later. KI4DTY, I'll be clear.
But then we decided those were getting in the way too much, so I don't know if I'll exchange those for something else or not. And then, I don't know if I'm going to get any more ham equipment or not. But, yeah, I have a hunch that things under the tree are ham equipment, but I'm not sure.
Well, I hope you get everything you want.
Just have to see what happens after Santa Claus makes his visit, right? I hear you on the air all the time, really getting into the hobby, which is great, making a lot of contacts. I think we chatted once before. I don't know if you remember the call. It's Kilo Alpha 2 Tango X-Ray Juliet, and the name is Jim, Juliet India Mike.
I got a Jim that is KU4LAO.
Nah, different Jim. I talked to him too once.
Another Jim that is WHQ6.
Nah, not that one either. It's KA2TXJ, Kilo Alpha 2 Tango X-Ray Juliet.
Attention on that Jim, the one that I just, the other Jim that I just said was a Echolink contact. He was in Pearl Harbor. Not seeing you in, So what was it you called that again?
KA2TXJ, Kilo Alpha 2 Tango X-Ray Juliet. You talked to somebody in Pearl Harbor that called in on Echolink. That's pretty cool.
I've talked all the way to Australia on Echolink, and I was calling CQ with my iPad. You know, if everybody runs Echolink, there's a function that calls CQ and connects with other stations that are also calling CQ. And I had a station from Australia, but my Echolink acted up, and it wouldn't allow me to contact him.
Try that on Echolink.
iPad, I don't know about on the phone, but, so your call sign, I think I have it in here, KA2TXJ. I just don't have your name.
Yeah, that's the one. The name is Jim, Juliet India Mike.
Contact in my logbook, but, for the first 5 contacts, for some reason, I decided that it was not important to take names. So for the first 5 contacts in my logbook, I don't have any names. So, you know, I've slowly been trying to, you know, listen for those people and try to get their names so that way I can refill. So I have like 3 left. No, actually, probably 2. I think 2 left to get names for.
Yeah, it's great that you're keeping a logbook. You know, I never did that, but it's pretty cool to be able to go back and look at your contacts. Those folks that are in HF, I'm sure do that all the time. Don't get a chance to do much HF myself, but maybe someday. Although, been a ham a long time and haven't done it.
The HF break here, just need to get an antenna for it. I don't know how into the login I've been. Sometimes log, and then if I don't feel like it, I just don't log the new contact. But I've only had, repeater logs. Actually, I want an Echolink log on in my logbook, though.
That's very commendable. Well, I don't want to cut you short, but I know I'm going to get into a spot here close to my house where I dip down and don't make the repeater very well. So while I'm still in there strongly, let me wish you a Merry Christmas and hope you get everything you want. And I'll talk to you down the log there. KA2TXJ, be clear on your final.
You have a very Merry Christmas. KU4 ULP, and I'll be clear.
N4DJC.
Noon, Jerry. N0TR for a short.
Tom, hope you're doing well this afternoon. I sent you that email. The light has really turned out nice. I really like it. It was a good bag, and it's working great.
Well, I'm happy for you. We sure love ours. You want to say hi, Jerry?
Hi, Jerry.
That's, you like yours too, don't you?
Yep.
She has one over on her ironing board by the sewing, and I have one there at the bench. And they just make a real nice light, and I like the way it operates and the flexibility.
Good afternoon, Bernice. Hope you're doing well, too. Yeah, I'm going to get a second one now. I just want to try this one out. I didn't get the one that had the clamp, because I don't really have a place on my desk to use a clamp. But I'm not sure if I'm going to do the same thing for the wife to use for sewing, but it really is bright. I like the fact that it's got 3 color, 3 tones, 3,500, I think, and maybe 4,000 or 5,000 Kelvin those are really good. I mean, it puts out a great light. It's actually the middle tone is really good for using for as a light for photography, because it gives good I think the CRI is around 85 or maybe even 90, which is pretty good for color, you know, pre-production.
I'm amazed that in the old days the color temperatures were rough to match up right. I thought this might be my neighbor coming up here on his four wheeler. You had to use 3200 Kelvin for the tungsten, and you had to use the 5000 Kelvin for daylight, or 5500 or so. And then I took a lot of industrial pictures, and you get under those mercury lights, you had to have enough quartz lighting or something to light it, or one huge flash, because machinery is so big. And I had a great big potato masher Honeywell flash, but gosh, I took some black and white pictures of a 144-inch water valve one time, and I blew it. I was able to enhance the negatives and make it work, but it just wasn't my quality of photograph, and I was the only one photographing that before it shipped. Leave it to Beaver, you know. But if you took pictures under those mercury lights, everything was green.
I threw everything out of kilter. I've been using, as a matter of fact, I've got light tint I use occasionally. But I've got two 5500 lights on stands that I use for it sometimes, but don't really use it that much anymore. If I can get a good shot, with a phone now instead of a camera. But I was a little concerned about the NERFI with some of the LEDs, but this one's not doing anything that I can see on the scope. And we had those CFLs in the house, but I got rid of the CFLs and put in all LEDs wherever I could. I've still got two more fixtures to replace. I already got the LED fixtures. I just haven't had anybody to install them yet. But we've been going through the house doing that for about the last 2 years or so. I got two big ones in the kitchen, two big ones out of the garage. One in the garage is probably 5,000. I think one's in the kitchen about 4,000. And they're about 2x4, so they put out plenty of light. But everywhere else in the house, we have a kind of a medium blue carpet. Everywhere else in the house is kind of dark unless you have good lighting. I do appreciate that recommendation. As I said, I'm going to get a second one because I like this one so much that I think she's gonna try it out next time she sews. But it puts out a lot more light, and it's flexible enough. And the thing about this has got the base on it, Tom. And the base is not real heavy, but it's heavy enough to, it's got a little padding on the bottom, a little rubber tab on the bottom, but it's heavy enough where you don't just slide around on the desk or anything like that. And I really like that. It's got the slide tone thing where you can make it brighter and then change the color and so forth. So I've been real happy with this, and it's the best $30 I spent.
Well, I'm sure glad to hear you're a satisfied customer. I was, and both of ours are the clamp type, and I just was tickled to death with it. It worked fine for my application. I didn't realize it changed color temperatures. I thought mine was just bright, medium, and dim. But I'll have to check that out. The son-in-law just told me a while ago he won a 9mm Smith at the gun club he belongs to up there in Michigan, wanted to know if I had any shells. They can't shoot full metal jackets there. And I said, no. I said, I got thin jacketed full metal jackets. And there's Bernice up there just a second. Watch me come up to the top there. I'm down here by the basement door, Jerry. So I said, would you be happy with lead? And he says, yes. So I said, well, I got lots of those, so we're going to fix him up some of those later on. I think I got some 115s, maybe some 125s. Anyways, I got to get up there. She's waiting on me outside up there, Jerry. Glad to hear you. Maybe I'll catch you later on down the line this afternoon. N4DJC and 0GR73 Jerry.
Okay, Tom, we're going to be heading out to Greenville about 5 o'clock and stay over with daughter and son-in-law and grandkids tonight. We'll be back sometime tomorrow afternoon. And yeah, I thought we're going to head back out on Sunday to Atlanta to visit her sister. You know, we've got a busy weekend. I'll probably take my radio tonight, but I definitely won't be available Sunday unless it's later on in the afternoon. But if I don't hear from you again, have a good Christmas. I'm going to try to maybe get on. I won't have to get on there to link tonight. And I'll be able to have a great afternoon, have a good Christmas Eve, and have a good Christmas tomorrow if I don't talk to you during that time. It's 02R and 4DJC clear.
M4WHM.
Hey, Bill, I hadn't heard you in a while. You must be pretty busy.
Pretty busy. Between work and getting home in the dark, having to do a few things, it's hard to get on the radio, catch anybody, and then I go to bed about the time the net starts, so I have to decide between sleep or the net, and most of the time sleep wins out.
You know, driving back and forth. I guess you drive back and forth every day this week, I suppose, until maybe today. But, anyway, it sounds like you've been real busy. I know as it gets towards the end of the year, sometimes some places speed up, some places slow down, and I guess you're into it speeds up.
Manage the slow time after the students leave to do IT projects, and we just converted our parking system for campus, and getting ready for it to go live January 4th when we go back, and then the students come back on the 7th or 10th, something like that. So we'll have a few days to get the bugs worked out of it and get everybody parked and make sure everything's like it needs to be. So that's been a big project for the last 6 months building up. So, but once this is over, we'll settle into the spring semester and cruise on into another one.
I figure it's going to be kind of busy starting next week there, I guess, with the games coming up, or game or games, depending on how well they do. But we'll see what happens. This COVID protocol stuff is really taking a toll. I was reading the other day with Texas A&M, not even going, they withdrew from their bowl game because they didn't have enough scholarship players to fill the team.
Georgia is going to have a couple of those out with COVID, under COVID protocol, and it's just all the teams are hurting with it. So I don't know what they're going to do.
That was the A&M was for the Gator Bowl, and the executive director of the Gator Bowl is Greg McGarity, and they were trying to find somebody to fill in because they were going to play Wake, which would have been a pretty good matchup. They were going to play Wake and the Gator, and they said they were trying to, I wouldn't have made any decision. Illinois was, I think they were only 5-7, but the AD from Marshall, said Marshall's already played a bowl game. They said, we're up for another one if you need somebody. And I thought, they're counting those dollar signs already, I suppose. But yeah, it's going to be unusual. I think Daniels is probably going to be out, but I think Pickens tested negative, though. As a fall positive, so I don't know what's going to happen. But between now and then, anything can happen. And you know, they can't feel enough. They, based on what I was reading, they can forfeit. So that doesn't sound very good to me.
It wouldn't be any fun for any team, so, or any bowl, or any game for that matter. So I hope it doesn't come to that. Hopefully they'll have enough to make the roster and play, and you know, it might even the odds with some of the players out, or it might make the game be a little better. So, either way, I just hope they get to play all of them. So, it's been a long year for them, and I hate that all the teams can't be in good bowl games, but, you know, Georgia's got a chance to, if they win, to go for the national, and so I hope they are able to play and play strong and give it one more try.
I don't know how everything's going to work out. I'd like to be able to said I've seen them win two championships in my lifetime, but who knows what might happen. They've been on the cusp of it a couple of times now, and I was talking to a friend of mine not long ago about, you know, Rick, if they'd had a championship playoff like they had now, that year when they beat Hawaii, and I think in the Sugar, they would play for a championship that year. But they've been close a few times, but we'll see. It's hard to get over that hump, and Saban's an awfully good coach. You compare him to anybody else, you might beat him once, but it's hard to beat him more than once, especially when you got a Heisman quarterback.
They do have a good quarterback, I'll give them that. And Saban is a good coach. Ain't no doubt about that. He's got a legacy and a dynasty going over there, and I don't see him slowing down anytime soon, at least not in the next 3 to 4 years. So, but Kirby's a good coach. He's he's only 46 or 48, so he's still young. He's got some time to mature and get his game down. So, if Georgia will hang in there with him, I think he'll eventually bring it home.
This year's recruit some of the best players they've had in years, some depth that they haven't had. Since I've been watching play, which has been since the 60s, they've lacked depth, and now they got some depth in a lot of these positions. They keep getting more and more. I think him being a defensive guy, it's hard to turn over the reins to a good offensive guy, but hopefully he'll stay around. Of course, Lanning's gone to Oregon, and I thought that was going to be an interesting combination. I think they play Oregon the first game. Yeah, next year, 2022, so that's gonna be an interesting matchup.
That's the opening game, so it'll be curious. They'll have to change the playbook between now and then, or he'll know all the plays.
But I think Michigan's gonna give them a handful of that. I think people discount Michigan. I think they're gonna be. They've made some turnarounds here lately, and they're a good team. They match up pretty good with Georgia, though. Their styles are pretty similar, so we'll see how their running backs do. But hopefully Georgia come out and be able to get in there with Alabama, Cincinnati, whoever. I don't think Cincinnati's got much of a chance against Alabama, but you know, an injury or two or somebody out with COVID can make a big difference to the game like that.
On both counts. I'm not counting Michigan out by any stretch of the imagination. There's a good chance Michigan could pull this off. And I'm holding my fingers crossed and everything else for it. But Michigan's a good team and one to be respected, and you know, like I said, with Cincinnati, you know, couple players and a couple turnovers, and next thing you know, they could be there. So it could be a total unknown.
You just never know, especially when teams haven't played each other like that. And it's just an unknown. Imagine them up on paper, imagine up on the field, two different things entirely. We were talking about Clemson the other day too. Losing Venable to Clemson—that's a big deal there. Now I was really surprised that he went ahead and did it. But for that kind of money, plus he coached there for a long time. He was there for 10 or 11 years, I think. And I guess it didn't really surprise me. I didn't think he'd go for a parallel move. They backed up that Army car to his front door and rolled it out, I suppose.
Hard to turn down some of these offers they get. I mean, you got Saban, I think he's making, what is it, 12 or 13 million a year? Highest paid coach in his contract, that he'll always be the highest paid coach, so no matter if somebody gets near him, they have to raise his pay. That'd be a good spot to be in. I think Kirby's making 7 or 8 million a year, so they're making a living. I think they're getting by on beans and cornbread.
Saban sold one of it. He had a house at Lake Burton, and I think he recently sold one of them. He's got another one up there. I think the new one's like $12 or $13 million. It's a show plane, so it's absolutely gorgeous. But the other one he had with Chevy, I think he sold it for $7 or $8 million or something like that. If he did sell it, I think it did sell. But now they're living above the minimum wage.
A little bit, just a little bit. I can't imagine, but no need to even try. I don't think I'll ever get there. Don't even want to. I'm satisfied where I'm at and what I'm doing in life, so I can't ask for much more. Lord's blessed me with what I have and got a lot more than I deserve, so no complaints here. I just wish the players could get into some of that money. Some of them put their life into it to end up doing nothing after college. Some of them make it. Some of them make it to the pros. Some of them make it in business. But there's a lot of them on Georgia campus wearing UGA rings that are unfortunately working in the facilities department. And they're just getting by. That's a sad thing.
Probably about 1% maybe that make it all the way through and, you know, make it to the pros, probably less than that. You just consider thousands of athletes, that's not a lot of people. But it is a shame that if they do that, when the kind of money that's involved in it now, it's not like it was 40 years ago. The money wasn't there then, but now there's so much money, these guys making money off the you know, likenesses and that sort of thing. That's probably... A lot of people think it's going to ruin football, and maybe it will do it. But you know, these guys, they're going to play for, you know, 3 years and go one way or the other. So, and this transfer portal was a whole another ball game entirely. It's really throwing a monkey wrench into just about everything. From what I'm seeing, there's a lot of guys that are moving around. Just every time they turn around, they're getting exemptions so they can. So they can go ahead and play the next year. Plus, you know, from this past year, they got next year. I think everybody got next year eligibility on top of that. So some guys can get 6 years eligibility and play, you know, play somewhere, play the, where they are now, or play somewhere else next year.
WHM. Yeah, you can get a good 5 full years out of it. And like I said, with that extra year, gives them time. But any of the good ones there, 3 years, and they're gone to the draft, or try to anyway. They don't want to take a chance getting hurt playing an extra year, and I can't blame them for the kind of money they can make for 1 year if they make it in the bottom of the draft.
Or I think it's Kenny Pickett, the quarterback at Pittsburgh, is so highly rated. He's not going to play in a bowl game. And a lot of these guys, you know, I think last year before last, a lot of guys at Georgia didn't play either. Several of them have just got out in there. People don't like it, but it's understandable. When you got that much money, you know, if you got an NFL career ahead of you, you got a chance to make maybe $10 million of your lifetime versus not making anything if you get injured. It's a whole, different light on things.
Okay, South Carolina's Marcus Lattimore, as good a running back as he was, and just a freak injury stopped him from an NFL career. I still feel sorry for him. That was a hard thing to watch.
He was a good kid, too. He's still doing a lot, you know, in Columbia, I think. And he's one of those guys that'll, you know, he'll do well, because these guys hit on straight. He's always worked hard, but, you know, it's kind of like the deal with some of the guys at Georgia, you know, getting hurt early, and, you know, them not playing very well senior season or junior season and going on. And NFL just, you know, just making it look like a child, like Ty Gurley and I can't think of the guy that number 28 at Georgia. I think he got his leg messed up twice, and he's been running strong in NFL now for his rookie year. But that those guys, there's a lot of decisions to be made at a young age when you got a career like that possibly ahead of you.
A lot of decisions they got to make, and I mean, you go back a little few more years, and you had Sean Marino. He was good, and before that, quarterback old Matthew Stafford, he was top notch, and you know, he signed $49 million out of the gate to play pro, and that was an awful lot of money, and he's re-signed since, and he's just making more money than he can count. And there's been a lot of good players come out of Georgia, Clemson, or out of the whole SEC. I mean, there's good players come out of everywhere, but there seems to be a cluster here in the SEC of players that make it. And that's why I'm hoping when we play Michigan, they won't be prepared for the way the SEC plays, since we play a little rougher, a little harder.
How that turns out, that's going to be probably the most interesting game to see those two match up. I think it's going to be a good matchup. It could be a lot closer than people think it is, because Michigan really wants it, and the Georgia players are disappointed in how they did against Alabama the first time. But, you know, things change. You never know. I remember it might have been the last time they won a championship. SEC, I think they were the year they played Auburn, lost Auburn in the regular season, and then beat them in the SEC championship game, and the scores were complete. I mean, they were identical, but they were just reversed. So you never know what might come up. Maybe something good happened to them. I tell you, they've done a lot of work to these guys. A lot of the guys stayed their senior year when they didn't have to. And it'd be a shame for them to miss out on that and not get a chance at a ring, because some of these other guys, they're going to be in there for a while longer.
All right, Jerry, you're all right. Like I said, I'm not discounting Michigan at all. I think they're going to be playing to win. But I think Georgia is too. I think it's just going to come down to who's in the game that day. Like I say, any given Saturday, any team can win or any team can lose. So we'll just have to wait and see. Well, I heard you and Tom talking and sitting on the radio. I need to get up and do a few things. We're going to go up at Gale's and cook a little dinner and have Christmas Eve dinner tonight. So I got to get ready for that. So, but as always, good catching up with you, Jerry. And I heard you say you're going over to the kids' house tonight and then to Atlanta. So you have a good trip and safe travels, and make sure Santa Claus knows where you're at so he'll come down the right chimney. You have a Merry Christmas, and I'm sure we'll talk next week. So I'll pass along your hellos and let Gail know you've been reading a column, as always. So you have a Merry Christmas, Jerry. Good talk to you. 73's, my friend. I'll be clear on your final.
Headed to see Lori on Sunday. We're going to have a little family get together in Atlanta. It's the first time we've got together, I guess, since the wedding. Her daughter got married in October. Not everybody was there then, so we're going to have a day after Christmas lunch at her house, and we're going to be gone today and be back probably tomorrow afternoon. I probably won't be on the radio again until maybe tomorrow evening, but be sure to tell Gail hello, because we have been. We've had Lynn just finished reading the Oral Sun earlier this morning. I read it yesterday when it came out. If you had another good column, be sure to tell her hello, and you guys have a safe travels if you go over and enjoy your get-together tonight, and have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon, Bill. Appreciate your friendship, and be sure and y'all take care of everything they're in Harlem for us. and make sure Santa does leave you a nice radio or something for Christmas this year. 73, N4DJ6.